I was reading a news article the other day about a footballer called Jordan Rhodes. Now, Jordan Rhodes plays for Liverpool, and he has the opportunity for playing for England if he's any good. And this guy, his desire is to play football. His desire is to play at the top level. His desire is to play every single game possible. Even when that desire is going to lead him into trouble. He was saying in the paper that I'm my own worst enemy. And the reason that he was his own worst enemy is because even though he's injured, even though he's in pain, he continues to play. His desire to play football is often greater than the wisdom that he has not to play while he heals himself. And I was thinking, how often can we be like Jordan Rhodes? Not brilliant at football, but our own worst enemy. How often can our desires to do something be far greater than what we should be doing? And how often can our desires lead us to be our own worst enemy? So this morning we're going to be looking at James chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. And what we've been seeing as we've been going through this book of James is that the church is a bit of a mess. They're under persecution. The church has been scattered out from Jerusalem, across Europe. What we found is that people are persecuting the church. They're hating the Christians. People are dying. People are getting scattered from their homes and they're running in fear. The sad thing is also within the church, there's infighting. The church are fighting amongst one another. So the Bible so far in James, we've been looking at how we should be peacemakers. And we're looking here and we're seeing in these verses that people really aren't following the advice of God's word. So if you turn with me to James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble." So let's just pray and ask God to speak to us through his word. Father, we thank you that your word is alive. We thank you that your word can transform our lives, can transform our hearts. And we just pray, Lord, that by your spirit and through your word this morning, that you will challenge us and equip us to be more like your son, Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. So let's look at the first verse. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" Now, this might sound a bit strange for some of us. What causes fights and quarrels in a church? Would a church really have people in it that fights and quarrels? Well, looking back in the day, looking back to when this was wrote, if you think some people in this church is rough, you want to see what the church was like back then. This church was rough. Some of the people who were in the church had come from a Jewish group called the Zealots. And what they were like an organization that was fighting against Roman rule. Some of these people will have been walking around with daggers, and they'll have been, at times, they'll have killed people. They were hard, they were lawless, they were running away from the government. And all of a sudden they become Christians and go to church. So you've got these roughnecks in the church. Overnight, they're not going to know, "Oh, I've got to be really nice and go make the tea and put the kettle on and have people around for tea." They've got their heads a bit messed up. And like some of us, our heads can be messed up as well, can't it? What James is saying here, he says, look, you're fighting and you're quarrelling, but why? Isn't the reason that you were fighting and quarrelling because of the battle that's going on inside you? You see, James is recognising that all of us have conflict going on inside us. Because we have God's law on one side, we're wanting to do what God wants, but on the other side, we've got our own desires and we're wanting to do what we want to. It's a bit like me. I want to be a good preacher. I want to be a good preacher who preaches well and explains the Bible well. I also want to be a good preacher, so people high-five me and say how brilliant I am. I've got a battle inside me. I've got a battle of wanting to honour God and please God and God's people by preaching well. And I've got the battle of pride by wanting to preach well so everyone thinks I'm great. And I get people to mark me on my preaching. They will listen to a sermon and they will tell me some good points and they will tell me some bad points. And when they tell me the good points, I'm sat there thinking, yeah, you're right there, yeah. And as soon as they mention anything negative, a wall comes up. And I think, who are you talking to? You're an idiot. You haven't got a clue. I don't like listening onto advice if I perceive it as being negative. And sometimes I can be like Jordan Henderson. I'm fighting the wrong battle. I'm my own worst enemy. Instead of listening to good advice, I'm fighting against the good advice. Do you ever feel that conflict inside of you? Do you ever have that desire to serve God? But then there's a battle because you want to serve yourself. Do you have a desire to serve yourself more than you have to serve God? The next verse says, you desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. So what we've seen is a lot of people here who are jealous and angry. It seems like there's a lot of people thinking, well, he shouldn't be preaching, I'm better than him. There's probably all kinds of things going on in that church that goes on in our church and churches across the country. Why is he getting to read the notices out? Why has he got the church credit card to go out for a meal? Why is he doing this? Why is he going to Nidri? Why is he getting better treatment than me? Often we can look at people and become jealous. And not only are we jealous, we become angry and we think that we deserve better than the person who is being blessed. We can often want what others have. And when we don't get it, we kick off and we become angry and we can start to hate people. And the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, if we're angry with a brother, if we hate a brother, that's just like killing somebody. It's serious. When we hate a brother or sister, when we're angry with a brother or sister, it is serious. I go to a gym, and the gym I go to, there's a couple of good boxers. There's a couple of boxers who've done really well for themselves, who've won championships. And these boxers used to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. They used to have a diet. They used to run for miles. They'd train all morning. They would then go and travel the country and spar around the country. They worked really hard, and they won titles. They were on TV, and people used to think they were great. And then there was other people who hated them, who used to say, you don't really know what that fella's like. He does this and he does that and he does the other. And people were angry and jealous of the success. But the thing was, the people who were angry and thought that they deserved to have what they had couldn't be bothered getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, couldn't be bothered running, couldn't be bothered training. Sometimes we fight the wrong battles. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy, especially when we're looking at other people and thinking we should have what they have. Because the Bible tells us that the reason we don't have is because we don't ask God. And like those lazy people who sat around slagging the boxes off but weren't doing anything themselves, we can be the same. We need to ask ourselves, why are people being blessed? Why are people seeming to be having peace when there's trouble in their life? Are we looking at people enviously, thinking we deserve what they have? Or are we seeking God? Are we in the gym, or are we sat on the sofa eating crisps and slagging the boxer off? Do we want what the boxer has but sits at home whinging? We can be like that in the church, can't we? We can look at other people whose lives are blessed, who have a great relationship with God, and we can be sat at home watching EastEnders with a dusty Bible, never praying. We need to be seeking God for his gifts. We need to be on our knees praying. We need to be reading his word, and we need to be meeting as a church. So what James is saying, the reason you haven't got is because you're not asking. And then he addresses some other people and says, but those of you who do ask, when you do ask, you don't receive because you're asking with the wrong motives. And the reason you're asking with the wrong motives is that you want to spend what you get on your own pleasures. Sometimes my prayer life can look like I've wrote a list for Father Christmas. It can be, dear Lord, please give me this. Dear Lord, please give me that. Please make my life better. Please make my kids healthy. Please give me this, give me that, give me the other. Often I'm just praying to God for worldly pleasures. rather than praying to my Father in heaven, we should be using prayer as a time to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not just coming before him to ask him for gifts. If we look at Luke chapter 11, verse 11 to 13, it says, "Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Sometimes when we come before God and we're asking him for things, we don't receive them because God is protecting us. Because often what we're seeking isn't what's best for us. But the Bible tells us if we ask him for wisdom, he will give us wisdom. If we're seeking the Holy Spirit, he will give us the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. But sometimes we're fighting the wrong battle. We're not asking for the gifts of God. We're asking for the gifts of the world. When we come before God, are we demanding of him like a spoilt brat, stamping the feet, gimme, 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 gimme? Or are we coming before him and worshipping at his feet, worshipping at the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He goes on, James goes on and says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us?" So what it's saying is, when you choose to run after the things of the world, you're being unfaithful to God. He says, uses the word adultery. It shows the seriousness. If anybody thinks of an adulterer, they haven't got a good word to say about them. People automatically have a hatred towards adulterers. So how much more should we have a hatred to being unfaithful to God? It says, when you choose the world, you become an enemy of God. You see, we've got a battle going on inside us. We've got a battle where we're chasing sinful desires on one hand and we're chasing God on another. And when we choose to go on the side of chasing our sinful desires, we become unfaithful to God and enemies of God. The person who's been caught cheating will be called a horrible pig or worse. And that is us when we choose to sin and choose to follow the world over choosing God. Are we aware of the seriousness that it is when we chase the world and ignore God? It also says that we're an enemy of God. And if you look at the world, there's terrorism going on around the world. We don't know who the enemy is. The terrorists are living among us. The terrorists are going out and blowing people up in schools and shooting people in hospitals, in shopping centres. And the governments are powerless to do anything about it because the enemy is within. And we have that same problem in our own lives. We have an enemy within our own minds and within our own hearts. We have the enemy of sin that keeps tempting us with desires. Sometimes we're fighting the wrong battle. We're looking at people as the problem instead of looking at ourselves as the problem. Do we realize that our battle is a battle with ourselves? And what are we doing to protect ourselves from our own sinful desires? But the next verse goes on to say, "But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble." You see, all the previous verses are talking about how we're envious, how we're jealous, how we're selfish, how that within us we are enemies of God and we're on the take all the time. But the good news, he is the good news, it says, but God's grace is greater than any of our sin. Any of our weaknesses, God's grace is greater than any of our weaknesses, any of our sin, any of our envy, and God will give it. God will give us his grace. He only gives his grace to the humble because it says here that he opposes the proud. So how can we show humility this week? When we're faced with a battle with somebody in our street or in our home or in our life, How are we going to respond? Are we going to respond with pride and attack that person? Or are we going to respond humbly and ask God for the grace to deal with the real battle that's going on inside our hearts? Are we going to follow God, or are we going to follow our own way? When you look through the Bible, you see the disciples, they spent 3 years walking around with Jesus. They saw how Jesus was humble and loving and giving. But even still, they argued among themselves, wanting to know who's going to be the greatest. Oh, I want to be better than you because I did this with Jesus. Or I went here with Jesus. There's a competition within 12 close friends. There's a pride, there's a battle going on inside of each of them. And Jesus tells them, he calls a little child over and puts the child on his knee and says, if you want to be great, you need to be like this child. This child who's obedient, who follows instruction, who is humble. And you'd think after Jesus has demonstrated this, that they would learn. And sometime later, just before the Passover meal, Jesus humbles himself and gets down on his hands and his knees. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords gets down before his disciples and he washes their feet. And he shows that he has come to serve and that we should be like Jesus and serve too. And you think from seeing that the disciples would have learned. But it's only moments after that they start arguing among themselves, after they've taken the Lord's Supper, that they start arguing again who will be the greatest. And it's just a short time after that that Jesus shows them again what true humility is. Jesus humbles himself in a way that no other man has humbled themselves before. He is arrested and spat upon and beaten. He could have brought down an army of angels to wipe out his oppressors, but instead he humbly goes with them to be persecuted and abused and punished for our sin. He dies a horrendous death. At any point he could have just called angels down to remove himself from the cross, but humbly he remains there. He battles the temptations and the fears and honours his Father in heaven. Jesus, you see, gives us the perfect example of the grace of God that is given when you put yourself humbly before him. And he also doesn't just give us an example of humility. He also provides a cure for our pride. He provides a cure for our sin. And he provides an escape from the punishment that we all deserve. You see, that if we trust in Jesus Christ, then we can be forgiven from the sin. We can be set free from the eternal punishment. And we can know the love of our Father in heaven. So this week, as we're going around our businesses, we're living in our home, the hard task is, when we look like we're going to be faced with a row, when we look like we're going to have a fight, how will we respond? The battle isn't with the person we're arguing with, the battle is within. Are we going to respond by pride and wanting revenge and attacking the person we're struggling with? Or are we going to respond with humility? Are we going to chase our own desires of pride? Are we going to chase the will of God? So I just pray that this week as we go away and look at this word, that we'll realize that our main battle isn't with other people, but with the sin in our own lives. And I want us to go away happy and thankful and rejoicing that knowing that no matter how bad we are, no matter what we've done wrong, that if we humble ourselves before God, that his grace is enough to cover the worst things that are in our heart. So let's just close in prayer. Father, I just thank you that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that we can come before you, Lord, no matter what we have done or said or thought, Lord, we can come before you and know your forgiveness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is enough to cover the worst things that anyone has ever done. And I just pray, Lord, that you help us to display grace in our lives with our husbands and wives and our children, our friends and neighbours, Lord. Help us to be a church that follows you, Lord, that is faithful to you, Lord, that loves you, Lord, and loves others. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.